This is Kilo Victor Zero Alpha. I am net control for the Reddit net coming up in about 13 minutes. If anybody would like to check in early, please come back now with your call sign and name.
Hey, net control. This is AG5DB, Peter in Norman, Oklahoma. Let me check in, but I'm probably just going to be listening in. Back to you.
Okay, AG5DB Peter, I've got you checked in, and I've got you as, maybe listening. So, okay, good deal. Do we have any other early check-ins for the Reddit net in about 12 minutes? This is KV0A Net Control. Please come back now with your call sign and name if you happen to be here early. Okay, Reddit net starting in about 10 minutes. This is KV0A Net Control. If anybody would like to check in early, please come back now with your call sign and name.
November 9, Kilo Whiskey Hotel, Kenny. Hey, also, KV0A, just want to say thanks for the web link you sent me. That's working out great.
Okay, no problem. Okay, got N9KWH, Kenny. Anybody else want to check in early? This is KV0A, taking early check-ins for the net in about 7 minutes. Please come back now with your call sign and name if you'd like to check in. Reddit net starts in 5 minutes. This is Kilo Victor Zero Alpha, net control. Net starting in 5 minutes. This is KV0A, net control. Net is starting in about 2 minutes and 20 seconds. Okay, QFT, everybody. And thank you, NS7i, for reminding me of that. Welcome to the Reddit net on Grandmeister Talk Group 98003. It is 9 o'clock, and I am Kilo Victor Zero Alpha, or KV0A, sometimes known as Robert, and I will be acting as net control. This is a control net, so before speaking, please call net control if you recognize. Our topic tonight is portable batteries and power solutions, or, if you prefer, portable power solutions and batteries. Note that I will be attempting to watch the RedditNet IRC channel and GeekShed IRC on the off chance they have any audio problems, etc. during the net, or if you just want to make sarcastic comments in IRC. Before we start check-ins, does anybody have any announcements for the net? If so, please call net control now. Okay, nothing heard. Well, I do have a bit of an announcement of my own, so I will go ahead and say that. Tomorrow at 9 p.m., the same time tomorrow, I'm going to do a live stream tutorial screencast sort of thing about 4NEC2. I'm going to like set up a simple antenna starting from scratch in case anybody wants to learn 4NEC2, which is antenna modeling software, for those who don't know what that is. There is a post on the, there's a post about it on the amateur radio subreddit, just in case. It's got like links and everything and other information that you would want if you're interested. Okay, so with no more announcements, let us start regular check-ins. So far I have AG5DV Peter down as listening, probably, and N9KWH Kenny. So if you're not one of them, please come back now with your call sign and name, and after a few check-ins, I'll take a break to confirm the people that have checked in so far.
Whiskey 5, Bravo, Delta, Juliet, Brian.
Okay, I've got W5BDJ, Brian. Anybody else just for check-in?
Hey, good evening. This is Kilo 2 Charlie Radio, Chris in North New Jersey.
KC3MGF, name is Chris.
Okay, I've got, let's see, so far W5BDJ Brian, K2CR Chris, and KC6MGF. Hopefully I got that right this time. Actually, it's KC3MGF if my hotspot is telling me the right thing. Is that, that's what it was, right? KC3MGF? Was that KC3MGF? Am I, for some reason I thought you said 6 or something.
Yes, that's KC3 Mike Golf Foxtrot.
Okay, sorry about that. I managed to typo your call sign here. Anyway, do we have any other check-ins right now? Please call now with your call sign and name. This is KV0A Net Control.
KD5BIS Eddie.
Okay, got KD5BIS Eddie. Any other check-ins right now?
KJ7LLS, Clint, from Oak Harbor, Washington.
Okay, got KJ7LLS, Clint, which my cell correct just corrected the client for some reason, but I fixed that. KJ7LLS. Okay, we got anyone else right now to check in? If you want, if you're, we'll call for check-ins again later if anybody comes in late. Okay, nothing heard. So no more check-ins right now. We'll proceed with our first discussion segment. After every segment, and periodically, I'll call for late check-ins. So if you're still listening and want to check in, then you can do so in a little while. Anyway, the first open question is, does anyone have any interesting ham radio news they want to share regarding any ham radio topic? This is just an opportunity to tell everyone anything you've seen or heard lately that would be interesting that you think seems noteworthy. If so, please call Net Control now. This is KV0A. Okay, nothing heard. That all I would say I've heard lately is the Anchorage VEC is doing remote testing, and W5YI VEC has kind of started experimenting with remote testing, but they're not ready for full-scale remote testing just yet. That's about the only thing noteworthy, but that was about the same as last week anyway. So, alright, so let's move on to our first topic question. The first topic question for everyone is, what sort of power supply do you have now, if any? For this one, I'll go through the list and call each person. So, let's see, we don't have too many people checked in, and so, let's see, AG5DV Peter said he might just want to listen in, but since we don't have too many check-ins right now, let me ask him. Peter, what sort of portable power supply do you have right now, if any? Okay, nothing heard. I guess he's not in a position to respond anyway, so we'll move on. Next up is N9KWH Kenny. What sort of portable power supply do you have, if any, and what does it consist of? This is KV0A Net Control.
November 9, Kilo Whiskey Hotel. Well, I actually have a portable power supply used for all kinds of stuff. Kind of my little deal. I got a, like a knockoff Pelican case from Harbor Freight, which is like a discount tools place. Took all the foam out of it, and then inside it, I've got a 7-amp-hour Dakota Lithium that's sitting in it, and then that goes to a Anderson distribution block that then powers a another, like, external Anderson patch panel that has two ports that you can plug something into, a 12-volt power outlet, just like you have in a vehicle, and a two-port USB quick charge that can do that. And then, oh, I forgot, I also added some banana plugs to it so I can just quickly adapt to other things on it when I have that. And everything I have has the Anderson plugs on it, so it works out really nice. I've been pretty happy with it. I just used a standard lithium charger on it, sometimes solar as well. In fact, do you have control?
Okay, sounds good. I'm going to try something a little different for this particular topic and ask after each person, assuming after each person who does have a rig they want to describe, describes their rig, I'm going to ask everyone if they got any questions about it. So does anyone have any questions about Kenny's power, portable power rig? Just come back now. So
this is KC3MDF. I have a question.
Go ahead, KC3MGF.
How did you arrive to the 7 amp hour lithium?
And 9 kWh. Well, I actually just went with that straight for portability reasons. The 10 amp hour is not a lot bigger, but the 7 amp hour fits perfect in the smallest Apache, which is the Pelican knockoff case. Before that, I had it in a little tiny camera bag, so I literally just did it for size considerations. I haven't had any problems. It runs a significant amount of time. I didn't build my own battery pack because, well, honestly, I wanted instant gratification and needed a portable power cell pretty quick. Otherwise, I probably would have built my own. Back to you.
Okay, did that answer the question? And if so, are there any other questions?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Okay. Nothing heard for other questions, but we can always come back to that later. We're going to have a whole segment of general Q&A type questions anyway. So next up is W5VDJ. Brian. Do you currently have a portable power rig, and if so, what does it consist of?
This is W5EDJ, Brian. Right now, I just jumped back into the hobby after being gone for 6-7 years, so my entire kit right now consists of a TYT-MD-UV390. I'm looking to get back into it and start building my gear back up.
Okay, sounds good. Moving on, K2CR Chris, what sort of portable power supply do you have now, if any, and what does it consist of?
Hey, good day, guys. So right now I've got a Honda EU2000i generator, which I've used portable a couple times, mainly for field day operating 1E class, basically using my home station with a generator. That plus yanking out my car battery are pretty much my go-to options for that. Now, of course, for the latter, I highly recommend having a manual transmission and bucking on tail so you can hot start the car if you run down the battery too much. KQCR.
Okay. I got a question about your portable generator. This is KV0A. Does your generator have some kind of built-in, like, current smoothing or noise reduction stuff, or do you have to have a separate, some kind of separate unit for that? Because I've heard those portable generators have, like, massive noise and spikes and stuff because, like, the current's not smoothed out or something like that.
So the Honda units have a built-in inverter to to make the voltage transition smooth and actually not have any big spikes or harmonics. It ends up being very RF quiet, which is why a lot of hams get to be on the generators. Now, there are a bunch of other models from other manufacturers that either have different implementations or aren't engineered quite as well that can be very noisy. But the Honda generators are RF quiet, at least the ones I have and the ones other people recommend. The one I have is EU2000i, which is 2 kilowatt peak, like 1500 watts sustained. But, anything in that series with the I at the end means inverter. So there are all of those Honda models should have that similar feature set. KTCR.
Okay, that sounds good. That makes sense. Does anyone else have any questions for KTCR? Okay, nothing heard. So moving on, KC3MGF, also named Chris. Do you have a portable power rig, and if so, please tell us about it.
No, I unfortunately do not have a portable power rig, so I'm here to learn about them. Back to you, KC3MGF.
Okay, sounds good. This is Kilo Victor Zero Alpha Net Control. I want to take a break here to see if we have any late check-ins. Is there anyone who would like to check in late? If so, please come back with your call sign and name. Okay, nothing heard. Might have a short net tonight because not too many people are checking in here. Okay, KD5BIS Eddie, do you have any portable power rig of any sort? And if so, please tell us about it.
Yeah, Robert, good evening. KD5BIS, thank you, Eddie. Thanks for having the net, first time out here. So I do have a couple things. I've got a 5 kilowatt generator that's been in the garage. I rarely use it. It's, I use it about once a year just to turn it on and make sure it works. Living in Houston, we've got obviously hurricanes and whatnot, so I do like to have that just in case. But I don't really use it for radio because I don't think it's filtered. I have a feeling that if I do put my radio on it, it would sound pretty bad, or at least I wouldn't be able to hear as well as I could. But I also do have a couple of 55 amp hour lithium iron phosphate batteries, which I picked up used actually through some hospitals in the area. And this is just kind of a tip for maybe those of you who are trying to find something in that, in that chemistry. The lithium iron phosphate batteries are pretty light, comparatively to maybe a lead acid battery or a car battery for that matter, but it's about the same size as a car battery. It weighs less than half. I can throw it in the backpack. I've got an ICOM 7100, which I have connected to it, and I use it pretty frequently as far as just listening. I don't do a whole lot of transmitting, but it's a great option for those of you who might have some portable requirements or desires. Getting a hold of one though is kind of tricky, so. That's pretty much what I've got. KDRBIS, back to you, Net Control.
Okay. Yeah, I like the idea of getting some lithium iron phosphate batteries for less money than brand new from a local hospital or similar. I'm not entirely familiar with how much these things cost. A lot of these BioEno batteries that people have been talking about cost like $400 or something, or $300, something like that. How much did you, compared to the brand new price for the same sort of battery, like how much did you end up paying, and what like brand of lithium iron phosphate battery is it?
Okay, so yeah, I'll have to get back to you on the brand. It's in the garage. I don't want to keep everybody holding, so I'll go back and check for a second. I'll turn back in. I got these for free, thankfully. I got pretty lucky, kind of right place, right time. I'm an IT consultant. I happened to be working with a client, and there was a stack of these in a pallet, on a pallet out by the loading dock, and I just kind of grabbed them and asked if it was cool, and they said, yeah, we're going to recycle it anyway. So,
generally they're about $400, especially for the 55 amp hours. It's a bigger battery, and you can kind of build your own now. I think there's several people that have bought a lot of the, I think they're 12800, I believe, is the model number, 12800, that you can find those on Amazon, on eBay, and you can literally put these things together with a whole bunch of other batteries, and you can build your own power cell, which is a great idea, and I think that would work fairly well for some people. I just happen to get lucky, I gotta be honest. I mean, I was, you know, I'd be nothing if not an opportunist, so that's kind of where I scored the deal there. But if you do buy them, either about $300 or $400. Thank you.
Okay, sounds good. This is KV0A Net Control. Does anyone else have any questions for Eddie? Please come back now. Okay, nothing heard. Next up is KJ7LLS Clint, if I got that name right. You have a portable power rig right now, and if so, please tell us about it.
This is KJ7LLS. Yep, and the name is correct. It's Clint. Yes, I do kind of, I mean, it's a work in progress. I just right now have a 9mm ammo can that I mainly use it because I don't have a power supply for my mobile radio because I actually kind of bring it to and from the car. And so, like, right now it's sitting in the garage and hooked up to my base antennas. And then when I have to go to work, I just pull it up. Pull off the battery and then just throw it back in the car. I use a trickle charger that I have to charge it, and then I have Anderson power connectors for just the connections for the radio. But I want to get some terminals installed because where I work at, they have some backup radios. They have a couple of 8900s for work because I work in a hospital. So I was looking at some the actual Anderson terminals and all that stuff, and so I need to get those going as far as getting them hooked up to the box. But it's just I think it's an 8 amp hour AGM battery, 12 volt, and it's pretty light, and it's relatively small. So I actually have it sitting in the box, and I have it secured in there, and then it's a small can, so it's very, very portable and very, very light. So, but after hearing K9KWH and, you know, his describing his box or his setup, I need to be working on mine now that I have some time. So, but that's basically what I'm running, and then I have some backup motorcycle batteries in case of power failure, and I also have a generator, but that thing throws off a lot of RF noise, so I don't use that very often. So that's about all I have. This is my first time checking into the net, so I do appreciate you letting me on. So with that, I will pass it back to Net Control KV0A. This is KJ7LLS.
Okay, yeah, thanks for showing up. Seems like tonight don't have many people showing up for some reason. But the whole talk group's been, I've been kind of listening to the talk group for the last few hours, and there haven't been many people on here for some reason. Everybody seems to be busy today for some reason. Lots of people seem to be busy today for some reason. Someone was asking me at IRC, and now I'm answering on the radio. Let me call for check-ins again. Is there anybody who would like to check in at this point now that we are done with this round of, or this segment of discussion here? Please call Net Control now.
Net Control, VE6LK, good evening.
Greetings, VE6LK. If I can remember correctly, your name is Vince, so you don't have to tell me. All right, got you down. Is there anybody else you'd like to check in right now? Late check-in time. If you want to check in, please call Net Control now. This is Kilo Victor Zero Alpha. Okay, nothing heard. So let's see. Vince just checked in, but we haven't asked him about his portable power rig, and I have a strange feeling that he has one. So, VE6LK, what sort of portable power supply or other goodies do you have to tell us about?
Good evening, Robert. All those are net. KVs are away from VE6 Lima Kilo. Portable power rig. So, you know, I can throw my Goku on a table, but I don't have portable power for it, you know, that's sort of portable. I've got a couple of Honda generators. I heard somebody talking about those earlier. The EU2000Is, one's a companion to the other. I can tie them together. They help charge my RV when I'm running my air conditioners, or help run my RV, I should say. My RV is equipped with 450 amp hour of battery and 600 watts of solar, but strangely enough, I have not made the purchase to one of the Life PO4 batteries. It's on my list of things to do as soon as I free up some cash to have.
Okay, so you have, your main portable power is more like a mobile in your RV kind of power thing. You don't have any cool bio-Eno batteries yet, I suppose.
Yep, that is correct. Maybe one day I will. But for now, I'll be reliant on, in my shack, I have 95 amp hour of battery backup power. All of my stuff runs directly off battery with a triple charger on it, keeping it topped up. I've got a 10 amp hour glass mat gel cell currently not in use, but it's too heavy to be practical. And I guess I could drag my RV around and I'd have a place to sleep to operate emergencies, but that seems somewhat impractical if I'm just setting up the radio, right?
Yeah. Okay. Does anyone have any questions for VE6LK about his power goodies? Please come back now. Okay, nothing heard. Next segment is general Q&A type stuff. I'll just go through the list and see if anybody's got any questions. I'll see if AG5DB is here, just in case he has any questions or anything. AG5DB. Do you have any power-related questions if you are there? Okay, nothing heard. He either took off early or he is just listening, so I'll move on. N9KWH, Kenny, do you have any portable power questions for the net?
N9KWH, only thing I could ask is does anybody have a very small very well-made lithium charger that they could recommend. I'm looking for something to throw in my bag. Right now my truck is kind of big, and I've bought those little $20 or $30 ones off Amazon. They seem to be kind of junky in the long term. So I was looking for something super reliable. And small. I have a feeling I'm going to have to make my own, but so I throw it out there. Back to you.
Okay, if anyone's got a recommendation, please come back now. Nothing heard. We must be lacking lithium battery users here at the moment, I guess. One more. I'll give it a little more time. So, does anyone have a lithium battery charger recommendation for N9KWH?
This is K2CR. I would suggest checking out what is available from PowerWorks. They've got a few different types, and a lot of them are terminated with power poles to make them convenient for amateur use. K2CR.
Okay, I guess that pretty much answers that question. Did you get that, Kenny?
I did. Thank you for the recommendation, W5RI. I will look at that. Appreciate it.
Okay, next up is W5BDJ Brian. Do you have any portable power-related questions for the net?
Actually, I'm just kind of curious, with
you know, handhelds like TYP and, you know, Yaesu's and stuff like that that use a cradle. What do people usually use, say, in their car if they're going to be deployed for, say, storm spotting or something like that, and they'll need to have, you know, like a backup battery on charge or something like that? What do most people do in that particular instance? Do they, you know, use a small inverter with their cradle, or is there something else, you know, a different way to go with that? W5BDJ.
Okay, anyone who's got an answer, please come back now.
B6LK.
I actually use the cradle myself on that. Most of the cradles on my HTs are all, they have a wide enough range. It's like 10 to 16 volts, something like that. And then I've got an adapter that goes from barrel plug to Anderson power poles, and then I just plug it right in the side, and it charges and runs them great. I use that on a Radiodity GD77, Yaesu ST3D, and some Kenwood ones as well, and the Infamous power tanks. Back to net.
Okay, I think we doubled there with Kenny. V6LK also had something to say. Go ahead, V6LK.
The answer here depends kind of on the charging base itself. I discovered with the Yaesu charging bases that they will work very nicely for radios like the VX5, 6, 7, the FT1, 2, and 3. You can put 12 volts directly into the back because that 12 volts goes to a regulator that steps it down to the voltage required for the battery and the charging circuit. So then you could plug that or do that, a handmade power cable directly into your cigarette lighter without too much trouble. I have a charging stand in my go kit just powered directly by 12 volts where it used to be a wall wart. So you can look into that on your radio. That's at least how it worked with mine. Back to Matt.
Okay, sounds good. Do we have any other answers for Brian? Please come back now.
KJ7LLS.
Go ahead, KJ7LLS.
Yeah, I was. I also wanted to mention, in addition to the cradle idea, I have a GD77, I suppose, and I have an extra cradle, and I have yet to do that to where you can go direct 12 volt to it. But another thing you can look into is a battery eliminator. You said you have a TYT. I'm not sure what model you have, but they do make them for the MD380 and I think a couple other ones. But anyways, you can cut the battery eliminator. I know they use them for the Anytones 878 have them, and a couple other radios that I've heard that have the battery eliminator too. And it's got the generic 12-volt plug, and you can just plug it right into the side of a go kit box and then power it that way, and then that way you're running off the battery, a rather large capacity battery, rather than just the having to carry around the wall wart. So there's that idea. I know, I don't think they make them for the one radio I have, but I wish they did. So, but I hear good things about the eliminators. Back to net control.
Okay, yeah, I have a GD77 also, and it seems like everyone who has looked for one, including me, has not found a battery eliminator. Radiodity doesn't make one, and I don't think any third parties are making one yet, but I don't know, maybe one of these days some Chinese company will start making one or something. But until then, we're kind of stuck with a charging cradle. Okay, W5BDJ, is that a answer your question?
Yes, sir, definitely. Thank you, everybody, for the replies. W5BDJ.
Okay, next up is K2CR. Chris, do you have any portable power related questions for the net? Please come back now. This is Kilo Victor Zero Alpha Net Control.
Roger, this is K2CR.
I don't really have any questions right now. I'm not looking to spend any money on this, but I'm thinking about options for the future, so I appreciate listening to everyone's setups and input in that way. So no questions right now. Back to that K2CR. Thanks.
Okay, fair enough. I'll do another call for late check-ins here, just to see if we got anyone else, since we're not too overloaded at the moment. If you'd like to check into the net, please come back now with your name and call sign. Okay, nothing heard. Okay, so next up is KC3MGS, Chris. Do you have any portable power-related questions for the net?
Yeah, I have a question about solar panels. I wanted to know if anybody has solar panels or has worked with solar panels, and if they would have any recommendations. And also, I guess more specifically, you know, like what kind of considerations as far as like wattage and, you know, what kind of considerations to take, you know, when looking for solar panels.
Okay, anyone with an answer, please call net control now.
N9KWH.
LVE6LK.
Okay, go ahead, N9KWH, and then we'll get to VE6LK after.
I was just going to make a couple of recommendations. I've had really good luck with Renogy. I think I pronounced it right, although I might be butchering that. It's R-E-N-E-O-G-Y, I think it is. Solar panels, they work really well. I have a bunch of them on my house, and then we stuck a couple of them as solar panels for repeaters and other little projects like that. They work really good. Really, a 100-watt one cranks off pretty good. And then you can blend them all together with the plugs as well. For portable stuff, right now, I don't have anything major on the portable power, although I did order one of the power films, that are the foldable ones, like you can throw in a backpack, and they're soft and flexible. So I'll probably be able to tell you more about that in the future, but they haven't come in yet, on its way from California. So that's all I had to say.
Okay, good. B6LK, go ahead, please.
So I don't have any brand recommendations on panels. Mine are quite old, but they were very efficient for their time, and hence the recommendation becomes buy the most efficient panel your pocketbook can afford for the target wattage that you wish to generate. The other thing you need to consider when you're trying to generate from solar is that the sun is at a different position in the sky at different times of the year. So aiming of the panels for those times of the year when it's most important becomes a consideration. There's online lookup tools where you can figure out how to aim your panels. You can track your panels if you want to get into fancy motorized stuff. That's all good. And one needs to step that voltage down to charge their batteries. If they're 12-volt panels, you can run them in series parallel configurations to minimize the voltage drop on the line. I run mine, I run two strings of four panels each, so I get about 90 volts per string at peak generation. And in that way, I can run it on simple 14-gauge cable. I don't have to run any big heavy wire down to my charge controller. So that brings me to the next point. Purchase your charge controller that's RF quiet on HF. I run an Outbacker brand charge controller, and it's real nice and quiet on HF. I can't say the same thing for my three-stage charging system, however, my inverter, but that's a different matter entirely. So those are my thoughts on the matter. Oh, yes. Your charge controller should be of the MPPT variety, Mike Papa Papa Tango, which stands for Maximum Power Point Tracking. It'll recalculate every few minutes to see if the sun has changed position in the sky,
and it will maximize the voltage it can deliver down to the panels, or down to the batteries, rather. Roger, next.
Okay, KC3NGF was the vet of those responses pretty much answer your question?
Yes, they did, and thank you for the replies.
Okay, next up is KD5BIS Eddie. Do you have any portable power questions for the net? Please come back now.
Yes, it's KD5BIS. Not any specific power questions. Well, I guess I do. I am kind of new to the whole lithium iron phosphate deal, and just like picked up a couple batteries. Wondering if there's anyone who knows if I can use them at the voltage that they are kind of putting out now, which is over 13.8, it's about 14 volts. And I think the radio I'm using, which is an ICOM 7100, is pretty tolerant up to 16 volts. So I'm not too worried about that one, but I also have a couple other ICOM mobiles, as well as a solar panelwood all-band radio. And so I'm just kind of wondering if anyone's had any issues running lithium iron phosphate, or if there's maybe a requirement to put a resistor or some other sort of circuit there that reduces voltage down, or, you know, just kind of wondering if people think that's okay, kind of just running the way they are. They tend to put out a little bit more. But I did want to mention to there's an earlier question about a lithium iron, or lithium ion charger, or lithium iron phosphate. The one pack was from Amazon, and the brand is Aimcom, A-I-M-O-M. And it charges up to, I think, 60 or 70 amp-hour batteries. Some of the ones I initially looked at were pretty, they were about $20-$25, but they wouldn't push all the way up to 55 amps. So that was one, the question that I wanted to just try and get. I didn't get a chance to respond earlier. And the batteries, for anyone who's curious, the one I'm using is mainly a Vision. It's a 55 amp-hour lithium iron phosphate. There are several clones available that are much cheaper, so I would, if anyone's interested in doing that, I think I might attend to that, but if there's anyone looking at something else in that price range, check out the Vision or one of the Lunar clones. Back to you.
Okay, so about the question was about, did you say 13.8 volts is what your lithium iron phosphate batteries are putting out?
It's actually closer to 14, 14.2, 14.0 typically is a little bit higher than what your standard car battery would put out. And I know that, you know, if I use it on a power supply, I get pretty much 13.8 out, so just curious.
Okay, so you're wanting to know if any of your ICOM radios are going to have a problem with, like, 14 volts with the voltage being too high. Okay. Anyone, I don't have any experience with ICOM, so anyone who does, please come call Net Control now.
KO2 Charlie Radio.
Go ahead, K2CR.
Hey, good day. I'm not sure about the ICOM, but the Kenwood Ultimate you mentioned, Kenwoods generally have a plus or minus 15% tolerance on voltages, DC voltages. So, you know, you can run it powered from a battery, a lead-acid battery that runs down from, let's say, close to 13 volts going down towards, you know, 12.0 volts. And likewise, when you can place them in a car automotive system where you've got an alternator, the power that the alternator can put out can be well up into 14 and, of course, even 15 volts. And then you can have voltage transients that are higher than that even, depending on the vehicle. So, you know, those are, I think, expected designed voltage tolerances, plus or minus 15%. And I'm pretty sure that's on all the Kenwoods, and it's probably as well on all the ICOMs. I would suggest you check the manual and look for the specification section, where it should list the voltage tolerances for those radios. KCCR.
Okay, yeah, that's a good point. I know my Yaesu FT891 has the voltage tolerances in the manual, and generally, it's a safe bet that anything, like you say, alternators tend to put out in excess of 14 volts. Like, my car usually runs at like 14.1 if I check the voltage while the car is running. So pretty much definitely anything that's designed to be installed in a vehicle as a design goal is going to be able to handle stuff in excess of 14 up to some reasonable point. But yeah, I would also say anything that is normally designed to be like a base station that's not necessarily designed to be installed in a vehicle, you definitely want to check the manual and see what it says. But at least a battery should be, you know, a battery that's running, that's supplying like 14.1 or 2 or whatever volts should at least be a much more stable, you know, you shouldn't get voltage spikes out of the battery the way you might with an alternator or something. Anyway, does that help out any, does that answer your question?
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate the input from everyone. And it's just more of a question of, you know, I'd like to be able to have maybe just a couple sets of batteries that I can know I could use across the board, but not a set on the radio. So yeah, I'll check the mail, get the manual out a little bit, and see if there's specific requirements. And yeah, I'm good. Thank you. Thanks for that. KD5VA, thank you.
Okay, this is Kilo Victor Zero Alpha Net Control. Next up is KJ7LLS Clint. Do you have any power-related questions for the net, for about portable power stuff, etc.?
Well, to be honest, it seems like a lot of the questions I was thinking about bringing up has already been answered. So, relating, you know, to solar power and... one question I do have is the best place to find Anderson Power terminals with fuses. If anybody can come back with an answer to that. I was looking at Amazon. They have a really rather large one, but if I want to keep it kind of portable, I don't think any one that has 8 terminals on it. With that, I'll pass it back to my control.
Okay, anyone who's got a question about that, or has an answer for that question about Anderson power poles with built-in fuse holders, please come back now, please call Net Control now.
N9KWH.
Go ahead, N9KWH.
I don't have, I haven't found ones that have it built directly in. What I've done is done the homebrew style where I put on the Anderson end on one side and then it's got the blade fuses built in line, and then I replace those blade fuses with the ATC circuit breakers that they sell on the PowerWorks website. They're about $3 and really saves half and carry a bunch of fuses, and you can reset them after they get tripped. They're a little taller than a normal fuse, but they fit right in just like they're from the factory. Back to you, Ned.
Okay. Any other answers for Clint's question about Anderson power pole connectors with built-in fuse holders? Okay, nothing heard. Clint, did that answer your question? Sounds like I haven't even really looked into Anderson power pole connectors myself, but it sounds like Kenny has done a lot of research and has not found ones that actually have a built-in fuse holder.
Yep, it does help out. I've never heard of PowerWorks until tonight, and then I'm relatively new to the ham radio community, so I just recently heard about Anderson power poles probably about a month ago, so, and I have some now, but yeah, I just would like to expand a little bit further with the portable power supply, so but yeah, that's a good idea with the resettable breakers. I didn't think about those, so I'll have to look into those as well. I do have the inline fuse holders already, and I'm using them for my motorcycles, but I will definitely keep that in mind and then look into the circuit breakers
So I appreciate the information. Thank you. Back to Net Control. This is KJ7LLS.
Okay, yeah, I like the idea of those. I didn't know they made little circuit breakers that fit in those blade fuse holders, but I'm sure I'm going to end up getting some of those as soon as I put something like this together. Okay, and finally we have VE6LK. Vince, do you have any portable power-related questions for the net?
Net control for VE6LK. No, but, you know, if anybody owns a lithium phosphate battery factory, I wouldn't mind having a word with you privately. You know, about the potential to buy some batteries at cost. But no, I don't have any questions at this time. Thank you for hosting the net this evening, Robert. Back to net.
Okay, yep, no problem. All right, so that brings us to the end of the list. Let's see, and it is 10 o'clock p.m. now, Eastern Time, so we've been at this an hour, and that is when we normally end the net. So, time to wrap up the controlled net portion, but feel free to stick around and discuss whatever is desired. Next week, the net will be at the same time, Monday, 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. But the topic next week will be do-it-yourself and homebrew stuff, meaning anything you put together yourself, including kits. It could be antennas, it could be valens and un-uns, it could be entire radios, just anything. We'll just talk about do-it-yourself stuff in general, because one thing I always wonder is, what are the things you really save the most money on, or are otherwise better done yourself? And I think I've found a few of those things, but I would be interested in hearing about more. But anyway, so at this point, we return the talk group to normal use. This is Kilo Victor Zero Alpha, returning the talk group back to, well, ending the net, whatever you, however you say that. Talk group back to normal use now. That's what I was trying to say. Okay.
KZ0 and K2CR, thanks for running the net tonight. 73.
Yep, no problem, K2CR. 73. This is KV0A.
Very much appreciated, KV0A, for running the net. VE6LK. If you're looking for batteries, you might consider looking into some battery store nearby. There's a store up by me called Pacific Power Batteries, and I do believe they sell used ones. I think they probably get them from, I don't know if they get returned from like companies that use them for alarm systems or anything like that, but it might be worth looking into local locations and see if they have used batteries, and then something that you could maybe get for a lot cheaper than buying them brand new. So that's about all I have. With that, this is KJ7LLS, and I'll be signing off the talk group. Thanks again. 73C, you all.
WO9B.
That 95 amp hour glass battery, or what I mentioned earlier in my track, was exactly that. I've never seen a lithium phosphate battery, but I guess that means I need to keep looking, knowing they're now out there. 73,
VE6LK. WO9B.
Go ahead, WO9B. The net's over now.
Yeah, sorry, I got tuned in a little late. I was going to mention, I bought and built a number of everything. I'm in the basement working on a lithium phosphate battery right now. But a good source, U.S. source, for lithium batteries cells, if you're interested in constructing your own, is, just go to a website called batteryhookup.com, roving supply, but I've purchased, a number of lithium phosphate cells at very good prices. And they don't kill you on delivery charges either. So, decent folks, and they've even responded very well for a couple of questions I've had and a couple of problems I had. And, you know, tremendous. I mean, there's nice, good folks. So I throw that out. And I'll go back to building my lithium iron phosphate battery, WLAB.